I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Analyst, two-time Super Bowl champion on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline. And B-Mac, man, it's always good to talk with you. Happy Friday, brother. The trade this week had the NFL buzzing, and I want to get your take on it because a lot of people are automatically putting the Rams in the Super Bowl with the addition of Myles Garrett. How do you see this playing out for the Rams? And, look, we know they've gone all in before. But is this now the best team in the NFC?
No question. Yeah. Personnel-wise, I think, guys, we all would agree the issue for the Rams a year ago, the two issues, was special teams and defense, primarily the secondary play. So throughout free agency, if you go back and you retract their steps, they improved the secondary mightily. Trent McDuffie, a very versatile defensive back, former Pro Bowler, All Pro. Then they went out also and got his teammate in Jalen Watson, who started in Kansas City secondary last year. So that instantly improved the secondary play personnel wise. And then you go out and get the best professional sacker in this era of NFL football. Surprisingly, that's the most important thing that we got to dissect. No one saw this happening, especially outsiders that are not tied to the organization out there in Los Angeles. Because offensively, we know what they're going to do. We know they will be a consistent group as long as they're healthy. But just making the defense better, they did so already via free agency, but they instantly became a much better unit when they brought in Myles Garrett. So before Myles Garrett became a Rams, guys, we felt like they were a championship-caliber team without Myles Garrett. Now Myles Garrett is there. You have to like their chances of being the favorites to get to a championship and, most importantly, win it.
So our man Brian McFadden, guys, talking about the Rams, and we always, know Les Snead from our experience here as assistant to Thomas Dimitroff, but we always say, B, it's one of those top organizations that has their own way of doing things. Hell, they've had like two top first-round picks in the last like 12 years. They really just find a way to get it done. So you certainly, other barring injury with Matthew Stafford, you got to feel that Ty Simpson's going to watch for a couple years. What do you think, 2 more years for Matthew Stafford?
No question. I think best case scenario, call Mike, is 2 more years, right? Best case scenario. Worst case scenario, this could be his final hoorah. But the thing is, too, now, guys, when you really look at and dissect what the Rams did during the draft, when they drafted Ty Simpson, it confused all of us. Remember, we talked about why wouldn't they go select the player that can help them now? Well, I think they already had this plan in place to go out and try to go get a guy like Myles Garrett, because obviously, they knew they would not have a first-round pick in 2027 to go get a quarterback of the future. So now everything the Rams have done, if you go back and you look at the Ty Simpson draft pick, it was a calculated move that they only knew and understood why they did what they did. So like you said, if this is a 2-year situation for Matthew Stafford, if you're Ty Simpson, you love it. You love it. You soak up game from one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, along with one of the best play callers in Sean McVay, and you're not forced into action when you're not ready to be out there. So they're just setting themselves up very, very nicely, not just for the current time, but for the future time as well.
Let's talk about our guy, Drake London, getting his contract extension being announced this week. It's Brian McFadden joining us here on Dukes and Bell. And, look, I think most Falcon fans just kind of shrug their shoulders, not in a negative way, but, like, this is expected. We wouldn't expect anything less from the Falcons than to take care of Drake. Here's the question. Third overall annual average when you talk about where this hits. Is he a top five receiver in this league?
Not just yet. NEB? Yes. Top five right now? No. But the market is the market. And when you look at Drake London right now and how he has ascended in the Falcons organization, You're paying him for what he is about to do, in my opinion, because the best is yet to come, especially when you get stability at the quarterback position and you have stability within the offense. So this is the going rate for wide receivers, wide receiver one that has a high upside. So I don't have an issue with what Drake received. I'm glad they got the deal done because now everything shifts financially to Bijan Robinson because we know what he means to their offense. And you look at the running back position, a la Saquon Barkley, who is receiving around $20 million per year annually at that position. If you're Atlanta, now you need to start figuring out when are we going to get this deal done? Because if you allow Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back for Detroit, to sign before Bijan, he is going to reset the market. And now you have another contract that you have to try to get over instead of just having the one contract right now in Saquon Barkley.
Speaking of contracts, I want to talk about what happens with A.J. Brown going up to the New England. But just saw Baker Mayfield's not happy with his contract negotiations in Tampa. How much of a distraction has that become? Because you could argue that maybe they missed a window last year and losing Mike Evans. I know they've got a really good draft and they added some free agents. But what is that? How does that affect? It's one thing for a major guy, but when you're the quarterback, that is the star player on the team when he's got a beef.
Yeah, and Baker, you know, has really exceeded the expectations the last few seasons there in Tampa. And you guys know with the divisional business the Atlanta Falcons have with Tampa being in the same division, Baker Mayfield is the reason why Dave Canales is the coach for the Carolina Panthers. Baker Mayfield is the reason why Lim Cohen is the coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because with Baker Mayfield, they became hot commodities in the coaching neighborhood. Now, if you look at a year ago, we saw a dip in production for whatever reason. I felt like Baker wasn't healthy, especially that shoulder ailment that he dealt with early in the year. He never got over that. But based on everything he's done since being at Tampa Bay Buccaneers, following the footsteps of the GOAT Tom Brady, he's almost kind of made them not really forget miss Tom Brady. If you kind of think about what he's done. So, yes, he should be in that market of getting a new deal. We just saw Matthew Stafford get a good a new extension on the heels of winning the MVP. But if you're Baker Mayfield, you can't tell me he's not deserving of seeing some type of raise. Now, will it be a $60 million annual deal like a Dak Prescott? I'm not saying that. But in terms of seeing something, no question I think he's deserving of that.
Josh Allen is going into another year where obviously the expectations are off the charts. Everybody says Super Bowl or bust. They're opening a new stadium, which looks incredible. But they're also, for him, it's a new offense, right? New coach. And now, you know, at what point I'm wondering, like, do you feel like their window is closed? Do you still feel like the Bills are that contender? Or are we at the tail end of this now? Because it feels like for the last 5 years, they should have gotten a one.
I agree. I think last year was more disappointing than any other year with the Bills when you lose to the Denver Broncos and how you lost to the Denver Broncos, in my opinion. And what made it even worse was the team that represented the AFC in the Super Bowl is a divisional foe that you face off against in the New England Patriots with second-year quarterback Drake May. So last year was more, in my opinion, they missed their key opportunity. But the window is still open because you have Josh Allen. And even though Joe Brady, this will be his first year as the head coach, he's been a part of that organization for quite some time. So he understands the nuances of the personnel. And he understands, of course, how to navigate the roster because he has been around those guys. So the window is still open because if you had to rank the top four quarterbacks in the National Football League, you would never have a top four with Josh Allen not being involved in a top four, in my opinion. You should not. He is that type of player. Now it's about repeating what you did last year and just finding a way to get over the hurdle. That's been their biggest issue in terms of postseason success.
It's our man, Brian McFadden, guys, NFL insider, two-time Super Bowl winner on the Sweet James Accident Attorney Hotline. A.J. Brown, now teaming up with Josh McDaniels and Drake May as a delivery system. Is he poised to have his best year in four seasons up in New England?
I think potentially. Now, this is about the maturation process with Drake May continuing to develop. You know, we saw a major leap for Drake May compared to year one to year two, being in the MVP conversation in year two. Now, year three, We need to see that same thing from Drake May, continuing to develop and be that guy. And if Drake May is in his bag, no question A.J. Brown is going to be in his bag. A.J. Brown provides something to the New England Patriots offense they haven't had in quite some time. He's a heavyweight fighter at the wide receiver position. If you look at some of their wide receivers from a year ago, smaller guys, you know, shiftier guys. I understand they had Mac Hollins, but Mac Hollins has never been known to be a very, very physical presence, you know, that can go deep at any given time and separate in man-to-man coverages and things like that. That's who A.J. Brown is. He's an alpha, right? So now if you factor in also signing Romeo Dobbs from the Green Bay Packers, you know, mushroom head Dobbs. You know, he has that extra freaking mushroom on his helmet that I can't stand. But he's a heck of a wide receiver as well. So the wide receiver room collectively is better. And I think all of that will help A.J. Brown elevate his game to a level that we know he can go. A.J. wasn't happy last year, the last few seasons in Philly. And you know the first telling sign that A.J. was happy? The man got traded late Monday evening. Tuesday, he's on the grass practicing.
It's true.
Smiling. Right. I haven't seen A.J. Brown smile that much probably in the last 3 years.
It's true.
And they admitted that him and Jalen Hurts, it just, they've grown apart.
Yes.
You saw that. Everybody knew it. Now we just said it.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Like, it's one thing. Like, when you go get here, I'm already in the town.
He's already there. Like, yeah. It felt like he was already in New England before Monday and ready to go. I'm like, man, that's a telling sign, man. This man did not want to be in Philly no more. We know there was a gripe between AJ and the quarterback, but man, he wanted to get away from Philly. And he got away.
Caleb Williams is on the cover of Madden 27. What kind of jump do you expect from him this upcoming season?
Big jump. Big jump. What we saw from Drake May last year being in that MVP conversation is what we should see from Caleb Williams in year two with Ben Johnson. And the reason why I'm saying that is if you had to rank just the best talented quarterbacks. I'm talking about just pure talent. Mm-hmm. Arm talent, mobility, athleticism, clutch, you know, attribute, all of those things involved, right? If you had to rank those quarterbacks, I think Caleb Williams would be at the top. He would be at the top. And now just the offensive structure they have in place, it's time for him to take off, man. It's time for him to take off. I think he could be in that MVP conversation this upcoming season. And if that's the case, they're going to win ball games. They're going to win ball games. And he has one of the best coaches in the National Football League in Ben Johnson. I love Ben Johnson. I love what he stands for. I love his ability to call plays and put his players in positions to be successful. So for Caleb, man, yeah, you got the Madden cover. It's a cold Madden cover, by the way. You know, the faint homage to MJ, that logo, yeah. The Jumpman logo,
right,
and the shivering image as well. Super dope. But now it's time for you to go ahead and put that same mindset on the football field for 17 weeks for the Bears.
Yeah, man, a lot of expectations with the guy. Now, again, first year, always a bust. Second year, gets the right coach. Now, it's all about the coaching, man.
Yeah.
And that gets us back to the Falcons. We started the conversation before you came on about Kyle Pitts. You know, I said it's better for Kyle Pitts if Tua wins the job because Penix and him weren't really on the same page. Whoever fault that was last year, new OC, of course. You buy that, though, Tua? If Tua wins this job, it's better for all the skill position guys?
I'm quite ready to say that I will buy that because we've never seen it. Now, we've seen Penix thrown to this cast, right, for the majority of the personnel offensively before. We've never seen Tua do it in a meaningful fashion. But one thing I can say, Mike, to your point, we did see a better Kyle Pitts when Kirk Cousins was in the lineup. How he ended the season played a major part in him getting that nice tag because he was balling. He was a fantasy miracle for a lot of fantasy owners that had him on their roster. So what led to his spark in production that we did not see throughout the entirety of the season, we don't know. But for Kyle Pitts, I think whoever the quarterback is, I know Drake London just got paid, but their passing game is more prolific when Kyle Pitts is involved because he is that type of athlete that he can set up matchup nightmares for whoever it is trying to defend him.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. B, we were talking about it before you came on. He was saying, Kyle Pitts, that is, that he feels like the Falcons trust him by franchise tagging him and not allowing him to go test the market and basically say, yeah, we'll see where this is at. They believe in him, and so he's all about it. Hopefully he has an amazing year this year. Man, you hope we hope you have an amazing weekend. Brother, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, man, always, man. Appreciate you guys.
That is Bryant McFadden here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Two-time Super Bowl champion. Mike and I are live at Twin Peaks. Look who's showing up, Mike.
It's the Hoff. Jerry, fresh back from his last trip to Medellin, is back in the States.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.